book of Genesis, chapter 18. The book of Genesis, chapter 18. The book of Matthew is our New Testament book we preached on this morning. And our Old Testament book is the book of Genesis. We've come to chapter 18 of this precious book. And I hope you're enjoying the journey along with me here. Genesis chapter 18. We'll read verse 1 and verse 33. And we'll preach on this chapter tonight. The Bible says, "And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day," verse 33. "And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned unto his place." Now, if you mark your Bible, there's a phrase in verse 33. It's the phrase, "communing with Abraham." Communing with Abraham. I preach to you tonight on that subject. Father, help us, I pray. Thank you for your goodness. Speak to our hearts. And may this truly be a people here that communes with God. Touch us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in the previous chapter, chapter 17, we saw the Lord revealing himself to Abraham as the Almighty God who would keep his promise no matter how hard it may seem at the time. Now, he emphasized to Abraham in chapter 17 how he would make him fruitful and establish his covenant with him. And he showed Abraham that he and Sarah would have a baby boy named Isaac, in whom God would establish his covenant. Now, as we come to chapter 18 with that background right before it, we see the Lord comes and appears to Abraham. And as we come to the end of this chapter, we see the Bible telling us that the Lord finished communing with Abraham. So in this chapter, you have God coming down to speak and have fellowship with Abraham. This is the basic thought of this entire chapter. The God of the universe, the Almighty God, the Lord of creation, has come down to fellowship with his servant Abraham. What a wonderful privilege that was for Abraham and still is for us today. The Lord Jesus Christ left the glories of heaven to be born in a manger. He lived a sinless, perfect life and went to Calvary to bleed and die for our sins. He was raised again for our justification, and because of what he did, we can be saved from our sins and enjoy daily communion with our God. Somebody say amen right there, friends. It's this communion with Abraham that Abraham had with God that I want to focus on in this service. Now, as we travel through these thoughts together, ask the Lord to speak to your heart. This man's name was Charles Weigel. He was the composer who wrote the song, "No One Ever Cared for Me Like Jesus." He was in California one day walking through some flower gardens. And later that same day, he went to a Bible conference. And as he sat down, the story goes that somebody turned to him and said, "Mr. Weigel, I know where you've been. You've been walking through one of our flower gardens because I can smell the fragrance of the flowers on your clothes." When he heard that statement, he made a statement something like this: "My prayer is that I walk so closely with the Lord that the fragrance of his grace will pervade my being. I want the world to know by my words, my actions, and my songs that I have been with Jesus." Friends, let us be saturated in this idea of communing with our God. Let us walk so closely with him that others can sense his presence upon us. What a privilege tonight that Almighty God desires to commune with human beings. He desires to fellowship with his children. What an honor. What a blessing. Now, from this chapter, we notice five things that were involved in Abraham's communing with the Lord. And these same five things are involved in anyone's truly communing and fellowshipping with the Lord. God communing with Abraham involved five things. And I want to look at what these things that were involved were. By the way,
There's not one person in this building, including your pastor, first of all your pastor, who's communing with God cannot get a little bit better than it is right now. There's not one person who's arrived in your fellowship and communion with God. Every last one of us can do better in this area. And I'm glad tonight to announce that there's a God of grace and mercy who has made it possible to commune with Him and talk to Him and fellowship with Him. Five things that He, communing with Abraham, involved. Number one, quickly. First of all, it involved serving the Lord. We see this in verses 1 to 8. Notice it. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre. And he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on. For therefore ye come to your servant. And they said, So do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, Make ready quickly three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf, tender and good, gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. The main thought that we see right here is that as God came to commune with Abraham, we notice, first of all, in this communing that Abraham served God. There was a serving of the Lord here. These verses tell us that Abraham was just sitting in the tent door when he lifted up his eyes and he saw three men standing by him. When he saw them, he ran. The Bible says he ran. Are you listening? He's at least 99 years old here, friends. He's old, and he gets up and he runs to meet them, and he bows down on the ground toward them, and he asked these men to stay. He said, Wash your feet. And I'll serve you a meal. And he identified himself in verse 5 as their servant. The Bible tells us that he hurried to tell his wife Sarah to make three measures of fine meal and make cakes. He ran to the herd and he fetched a calf to make a feast. By the way, this calf that he went to get by himself, this was a sacrifice for Abraham. See, he wasn't going to give these heavenly visitors here leftovers, but he was going to give them of his own best herd. He took these things along with the butter and the milk, and he served these men. He stood by them ready for further service while he watched them eat. Now, we know from these verses here, especially verse number 1, that the Lord was among these men that came to visit. Abraham was zealously serving the Lord in this act. The point here is, though Abraham was a man of position, he knew he was in the presence of somebody that he needed to serve. He was a man given to hospitality. And we see him in this chapter of communing with God. First of all, we see him serving the Lord. May I say to you tonight that true communion with God always includes serving Him in some way. Always. We cannot truly be communing and fellowshipping with God unless we're serving God along with it. Let me ask you a question. Are you serving the Lord tonight? Are you doing something for Him? If you're not serving Him, you're not communing with Him. Because communing with Abraham involved, first of all, serving the Lord. Secondly, it involved listening to the Lord. We see this in verses 9 and following. Notice it. And they said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, Am I, after I'm waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I'll return to thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not, for she was afraid. And he said, nay. He said, no, but thou didst laugh. Now you say, Jody, what in the world are you talking about? Here's what I'm talking about. These men asked Abraham where Sarah was. He told them that she was in the tent. And then the Lord began to tell Abraham that he was certainly going to return and give Sarah a baby boy. Sarah was in the tent door and heard this promise. She laughed in what has been considered a laugh of disbelief, because she and Abraham were well past the age of being able to give birth to a child. The Bible says she laughed, notice it, within herself. Basically what that means is this: you couldn't hear her laughter. She was laughing inside, but the Lord knew all about it. He asked Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? She denied it, but the Lord knew the truth. My friends, you cannot hide the truth from God. God knows all things. Psalm 139, verses 1 to 4 puts it this way: O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path, my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it all together. The Lord then asked, is there anything too hard for the Lord? And after he asked that question, he reemphasized the promise that he was going to give them a son. Luke 1:37 says, for with God nothing shall be impossible. While there are so many thoughts we could bring out here, the main thought of the entire chapter is God has come down to commune with Abraham. And as he's communing with him, we see that Abraham served him. We see they're serving the Lord in communion. But secondly, we notice that there's listening to the Lord in communion. See, God was communing with Abraham by speaking to Abraham. And these verses tell us here, as we look into them, that Abraham was listening to what God was saying. There is no hint that Abraham did not listen to what God said. He took the time to listen to what God was saying to him. You know, in the same way, we must understand that to truly commune with God means that we will spend time listening to what He has to say. This is an application being made here of our time spent in God's precious Word. There is no communion with God that bypasses the Word of God. Did you hear what I just said? There is no true communion with God, communing, fellowshipping, walking with. You cannot have communion with God apart from the Word of God. If you're going to have communion with God, it means you will spend time serving God, and it means you will spend time listening to God. The Bible says in Luke 10, 38 to 42, it says, now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. You want to commune with God? Do you really want to commune with Him? He's made it possible so He can fellowship with you. He wants to fellowship with you. He wants to commune with you. He wants to be a friend to you. He wants you to be a friend to Him. He wants to be in an intimate relationship with you. If He really is, it means they're serving God in that relationship. If He is, that means there'll be time listening to God in that relationship. But number three, it involved not only listening to God and not only serving the Lord, but number three, it involved revealing from the Lord. Revealing from the Lord. Look at verse number 16. Notice this. And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom. And Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. Notice verse 17. The Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. Now, the major point I'm trying to get across here is this. We're talking about God communing with Abraham. Abraham communing with God, spending time with him, fellowshipping with him, being on a friendly relationship with him. It involved serving the Lord, listening to the Lord. It involved revealing from the Lord. In other words, what I'm trying to say to you is this. We see the Lord is going to reveal to Abraham what he's about to do with Sodom. He then speaks concerning Abraham's testimony of becoming a great and mighty nation, and that through him all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Then he brought out how he knew Abraham and said, I know that he's going to command his children after him, and I know that they will keep the way of the Lord. Here's what God is saying. He's saying, this man has a godly testimony. This man is doing it right. This man is right with me, and I know him like the back of my hand. Question, fathers, can God say the same thing about you? Can God say, I know that daddy right there, he will command his children and they will follow him, and when they follow him, they'll be keeping the ways of the Lord. God is saying this. He's saying right here, I'm going to let Abraham in on a secret. That's what he's saying. Hebrews 4:13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and open under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. God came down to commune with his faithful servant. This man who had a good testimony, this man who had his children in line, this man who was serving him and loving him. And here's what he said, I'm going to open the hidden counsels to this man. I'm going to reveal to him. Here's what I'm saying, friends. He was one who feared God, and he was one that the Lord was going to let him in on what he was doing. You know, the Lord tells his secrets to those who seek him and those who fear him. On the flip side, he shuts up communication to those who don't. You listening to me? John Wesley put it this way, those that by faith live a life of communion with God cannot but know more of his mind than other people. They have better insight into what is present and better foresight of what is to come. I call it, are you listening to me? Get it from Preacher Lashley. I call it Holy Ghost wisdom. I call it Holy Ghost discernment. You may tell you who he gives it to? Those who commune with him. Do you want to have a little bit of insight? You want to have God revealing things to you that he does? Now, I'm not talking about extra biblical revelation, friends. You know me better than that around here. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about letting you understand things. When you see certain things take place, you can see what that really means. You can look beyond what the normal person sees and says, wait a minute, God has showed me something here. This verse says this about that. I don't know about you, but I want to have that touch on my life. I want God to reveal things to me. I want God to give me a discerning heart. I want God to make me a little bit smarter. Amen or not, friends. You know where it comes from? Communing with God. Spending time with him on a daily basis. Proverbs 3:32, for the froward is abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. The Bible says in Psalm 25:14, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Number one, communing with the Lord involves serving the Lord. It involves listening to the Lord. It involves revealing from the Lord. It involves, number four, quickly, abiding with the Lord. We see this in verses 20 and following. Notice this. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me. And if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. Three men came to see him. One of them's the Lord, friends. One of them's God. And he serves them. We see him serving the Lord. God speaks to him and says, here's what we're going to do. So he's listening to him. Along with that, God says, you know what? I don't think I'm going to hide from this man what I'm going to do in Sodom. Don't you want God, when he desires to tell somebody something that he's not told somebody else per se, don't you want that to be you? Wouldn't you like for God to look down and say, I'm going to tell you something. Other people can't see this, but I'm going to open his eyes. I'm going to help him understand this. I want that, friends. I hope you do. But the point here, number four, is that in these verses we see the Lord saying that the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah was very grievous, very burdensome. So he was going down to see it himself. He already knew about it, but he was going down to see it himself. The men turned to go towards Sodom, but the Bible says Abraham stood yet before the Lord. You know what this means? This means the other men left, but God's still there. He's still standing right there. You know what Abraham did? He stayed with God. That's what he did. These two men left. They went. Abraham didn't go with them. He noticed something special about this third one. He liked it. So he abode right there with the Lord. Here's how God spoke to me in this. There were no doubt many things that Abraham could have been doing at this time. Maybe there were things to be done pressing on his mind. I don't know. The Word of God doesn't tell us. But even though the Bible doesn't tell us for sure what was going through Abraham's mind, we know that Abraham made a deliberate decision right here. You know what he made the decision to do? I'm staying with God. I like this place. I'm not moving. He knew he was in the presence of the Lord and did not want to leave. He was taking time to spend with God. Let me ask you a question. Are you too busy to consciously go into the presence of God and stay there until he's finished? Let me ask you a question. How long did Abraham stay with God, communing with him? Last verse of the text. What's the last verse say? Who left? Who left, friends? God did. You know how long he stayed with God until God said, I'm done. I'm finished. I'll be back, but I'm done right now. I'm through communing with you. When's the last time I did that? You know what we do? I better pray a quick prayer. I better read a verse because I'm so busy, I just don't have time. Not Abraham. Abraham abode with God. You know what true communion means? It means you're abiding with him. It means you're staying close to him. True communion with God involves a decision to stay with God in his presence. Let the Lord be the one who stops the communing, not you. We're so busy today. Life is like a rat race. Can I get an amen right there, friends? Life, it never stops. I mean, it is this way, it is that way. You're getting pulled in 10,000 directions. Maybe you don't know what I'm talking about, but I have a slight hint you probably do know what I'm talking about. How busy are you? How many things you got going on? I'm saying this, life is a rat race. There are so many things and so many people who call for our attention, need some of our time. But it's time that we prioritize our time. And we spend time with God. Let us be faithful to abide with the Lord in His holy presence. And this takes deliberate action on our part. May one of our verses in our life be, and Jody stood yet before the Lord. Put your name there. Put your name there. And Bobby stood yet before the Lord. And Tammy stood yet before the Lord. And Leroy stood yet before the Lord. And Terry stood yet before the Lord. And Mike stood yet before the Lord. Todd stood yet before the Lord. I'm telling you, are you getting what I'm trying to say here, friends? Let us be faithful in our time spent with God. We need God. We need His power. We need His influence. And we need to fellowship with Him. Isn't it something that the God of the universe is not too busy for us, but we are too busy for Him? Don't look at me like you don't think like you don't understand what I'm saying. We're all guilty of this. We're all guilty of it. But Abraham said, I'm going to tell you what, boys. I know it's busy there, and I know it's busy here, and I've got so many things to look after, but I'm enjoying this time with God so much, I'm just going to stay right here with Him. And he stayed there until God was done. John 15, 4 and 5, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Let me let you in on a secret. And I've learned this. I didn't say I've learned from it, but I said I've learned part of it here. We have so much to do. Of course, you know a preacher only works one day a week. That's what the world thinks. We have so much to do, so many things to, I'm talking about, and those things can be good things. But you know what God's made life like? If you put Him first, you get more done. Try it out. Try it. Try it and see if I didn't just lead you right. If you put God first and spend the appropriate time with Him and you have the right priority, I'm not talking about you want, so I'm talking about what you have to do here, friends. You put it to the test and see if God doesn't help you get more done that day than you ever have before. I'm talking about the days that you don't put Him up here, then you go to bed that night just trying to, I'm never going to get done. But the days that you put Him first, you still don't get it all done, but you feel like you've accomplished something that day. Why is that? Why is that? Because that's God honoring us, honoring Him. He abode right there with the Lord. Communing with the Lord. What did it involve? Communing with Abraham. This communion going back and forth. What did it involve? It involved serving the Lord. It involved revealing from the Lord. It involved listening to the Lord. It involved abiding with the Lord. And then finally, it involved praying before the Lord. We see this in the last 10 or 11 verses here. Look at verse 23. And Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked. That the righteous should be as the wicked, that be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. Abraham answered and said, behold, now I've taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Peradventure there shall lack five of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for the lack of five? And he said, if I find there 40 and five, I'll not destroy it. You know the story. He works it all the way down until he gets to the number 10. Saying, listen, if there's 10 righteous there, are you going to take the city down? God says, if I find 10 righteous there, I will not destroy it. The major point I'm trying to get across here, it's beautiful how the Bible says in verse 23 that Abraham drew near. See, Abraham was with him, and God was with Abraham. He was serving him. He was listening to him. God was revealing things with him. He was abiding there. But then when he got to verse 23, he said, I just want to get a little bit closer, God. Let me get just a little closer. And he drew near to God. This means he got close to the Lord and he began to pray. He began to intercede on the behalf of the city that was under the sentence of destruction. And you know what I've just read here. He asked, Lord, are you going to destroy the righteous with the wicked? And he goes from the number 50 all the way down to the number 10. And the Lord says, if I find 10 there, I will not destroy it. Before we get to the main thought under our communing with Abraham here, Let us consider some other thoughts here. First of all, we see that saints are salt that preserve from destruction. May I tell you that righteousness preserves a city and or nation? That's Bible. The Bible says in Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Are you listening to me? America's not a godly nation. Amen. I'll amen myself. It's not a godly nation. You lift up homosexuality and abortion and all these other kind of things, don't try to stick God on top of that. He's nowhere close to it. It's not a godly nation. And I've heard this before. If God lets America live, He's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. But could it be that it's the righteous in America? You, me. Could it be that God says, not yet? Not yet. Because my children are there. God's children preserve, friends. They're salt. That's something we learn here. Secondly, we learn and we see the lack of influence that Lot had. You know the Bible calls Lot a righteous man in 2 Peter 2 verse 8. You know what that means? It means he was a Christian. Hard to believe, isn't it? But he was. Now we know that if he would have won only 9 people to the Lord, God would have saved that city. Now there's been debate on exactly how many were in his family. With a study in chapter 19, I'm not going to split hairs with anybody, but I'll say this. A majority of those 10, if not all of those 10, would have been his own family. A majority at least, and maybe all of them, was his own family. And he hadn't even won them to Christ. Shows you the influence you lose when you're out of the will of God. Amen. Thirdly, it shows here, right here, that sin will be punished. It will not be looked over. These people are ungodly and without Christ in this world who refuse the knowledge of God. Ezekiel 16:30-49 puts it this way. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. Jude, verse 7, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. See, they may have had fun while it lasted, but they were going to find out that they would not get by with sin. The judge of all the earth always does right, and he cannot overlook sin. But as we applied that there, let's go back to our main thought, communing with Abraham. What do we learn here? We learn this, that when somebody's really communing with God, he's not only serving God, listening to God, abiding with God, getting revelation from God, but he's praying to God, friends. You can't commune with God and not be talking to him. Abraham was here a man of humility. He said, all I am is dust and ashes. But he had the privilege of directly speaking to God. By the way, it's interesting to consider what he prayed about. You know what he was praying about? He was interceding for two things. He was interceding for the preservation of a city and the protection of a saint. And I'm telling you, let us be constantly drawing near to God, interceding on behalf of those who are headed for destruction. And for the children of God around the world. You know what our missionaries need around the world? You know what God's children need around the world? Other Christians praying for their protection. You know what the lost and dying world needs? Somebody like Abraham who will draw nigh to God and say, God, if you only find 10 righteous there, would you preserve it? Would you take care of it? I'm just about done. James 4:8, draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh to thee. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 12:23, moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Ezekiel 22:30, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge, stand in the gap before me for the land. that I should not destroy it. But I found none. The Bible says in Psalm 106:23, therefore he said that he would destroy them had not Moses his chosen stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath lest he should destroy them. I don't understand that, friends. I really don't. I don't even claim to understand that. But the Bible says that God was going to destroy them had it not been for one man of God who stood in the gap and said, God, please don't. That's sobering. I don't understand it. I don't know it. But I know this. God, help us to get on our face and say, God, our nation has sinned. Please, please turn it back to God. Please hear the cries of your children. Please spare us from your wrath. Remember, the old prophet of old cried out and said, oh God, in wrath, remember mercy. And may God help us to see this tonight, that here's Abraham on his face interceding. Interceding. God ended up taking that city down. But he took the righteous out first. God answered his prayer. By the way, friends, don't ever think God is cruel. You and I have no idea how many opportunities God gave to the city of Sodom. We have no idea how often he spoke to that city and they said no. God finally said, okay, that's it. In this chapter, we see the Lord of glory coming down to Abraham, spending time with him. In this communing, we saw five things it included. It included serving the Lord, listening to the Lord, revealing from the Lord, abiding with the Lord, praying before the Lord. The Lord Jesus came from heaven to make communion with him possible for us. Micah 6:8 says this, he has showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. I'd like to ask you in closing, are you truly communing with God? Are you truly walking with Him, talking with Him, spending time with Him? And if you're truly in an intimate relationship with God, it means you too will be serving Him. You too will be listening to Him. You too will have revelation from Him, discernment from Him. You too will stay with Him, and you too will be praying before Him. May the Lord help us to see these thoughts simple. May the Lord add His blessing. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love You. Help us tonight. May the will of God be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Your heads are bowed. Your eyes are closed. I ask you a couple of questions. Number one, are you in His family? Do you know Jesus and Jesus alone? Have you trusted Christ and Christ alone? If you haven't, come, let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel. Question number two, how's your communion with Him? As they begin to play, I ask you, how is your communion with God? Do these same five things summarize your life? Are you serving Him? Are you listening to Him? Are you staying with Him? Are you praying to Him? Are you getting revelation from Him? Whatever it is, if God's speaking to you, come, talk to God. Maybe some of you just want to come tonight, get on your face for the country. Get on your face for this church. Get on your face for lost loved ones. Whatever it is, begging God to help. Father, take it and use it in a mighty way. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Let's all stand together, please. Brother Gary begins to sing. If God is speaking to you about your communing with Him, as He sings, you come now. Would you do that? Come now. Would you do it?
I am thine, O Lord.
Communing with God.
I have heard thy
communing
voice,
with the Lord.
And it told thy
talking
love
with Him. Walking
me.
With Him. Serving I'm Him. Abiding with Him. Staying with Him. Listening to Him. Praying to Him. You know it, sing it.
Draw me nearer, nearer. blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side.
Our Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you that you have made a way for the children of men to commune with the God of the universe, to spend time with you, to come into your presence. God, help us to see this vital truth that Abraham set the example for. Help us to be all you've saved us to be. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you'd like, if you want to, you can look this way. Some folks are praying. We're just about through. Let me ask you a question. Do you know somebody in this life that you'd have to go through the CIA, FBI, and everything else to even get a phone call set up to talk to them? And yet the God of the universe, the one who spoke us into existence, the one who formed Adam out of the dust of the earth, wants to fellowship with you and me. Isn't that something? May the Lord help us with this. I'm going to go ahead and dismiss all the children and teenagers and your parents who are going with you. You're going to the chapel instead of the blue room for the Parade of Nations meeting. Appreciate you being here tonight. God bless you. Let's pray. You can be dismissed. Father, bless now. Help us to be faithful communing with you in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you, folks. See you Wednesday night. Try to bring somebody with you if you possibly can. We'll see you then.